this week.
Severe mechanical turbulence in the forecast.
Buffalo battles through the heaviest winds of the year.
You guys got your seatbelt on?
The Prime Minister revs Buffalo's engines.
Police very excited by taking off now.
Yeah, let's go.
You proved to me, sir.
And government watchdogs lower the boom on Joe.
How much time you giving me? How much? 12 noon today.
I might be going out here in cuffs, so.
South of Norman Wells, 700 kilometers up the Mackenzie Valley from Yellowknife. Buffalo C-46 crew prepares for a battle.
You guys got your seatbelt on? It's gonna be pretty bumpy.
A battle with some of the worst winds they've ever faced.
This is Arctic Radio reporting severe mechanical turbulence. Forecast below 3,000 APO due to a 60-knot low-level jet. Are reporting strong gusty surface winds.
Pilot Ian Bottomley and Captain Devin Brooks are getting smacked head-on by 50 kilometer an hour gusts.
Hey, feels a little different, eh? But it's a pretty strong wind.
10 kilometers back, Sean Barry and Buffalo's Electra crew are en route with a load of natural gas drilling equipment.
Oh, we're checking normal wells altimeter 29 or 59er.
29 or 59er out.
Hold on here.
With the wind slowing Devin down, they're getting a little too close for his comfort.
Hey, we're going to take you over to the company. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, you'll see us for 28 back, straight in 27.
Okay, you're ahead of us, man.
Just barely, but we're not going too fast. If you could slow it down first bit, or you should be there in 11 minutes.
A good headwind can help slow a plane down on landing. But a headwind this strong is going to make for a very rough trip to the ground.
This will be interesting.
Go scared out.
Here she comes. Hills up, curvers cold. I got a whip.
On this leg, it's Ian's turn to land.
90 knots for 65.
As he lines up with the runway, the 46 is no longer heading directly into the wind.
Coming. 37. Finals are all good. Gears are off. 90 knots for 65. Make her a short one, buddy.
The gusts whip the plane around.
4. Coming. Oh, fuck. 4 set.
And right on the 46's heels,
200.
Sean approaches in the Electra.
And you're slightly left off.
100.
The more modern and streamlined Electra has a much smoother trip to the ground.
20. 10.
Today's wind chill is so bad, even the pump on the fuel truck is frozen up.
Stuck in Norman Wells right now. Fuel truck's broken. Yeah, we don't have enough fuel to go anywhere else, so we're waiting until they get her fixed.
Devin and Ian could have a long wait in minus 30.
Totally stopped up. We don't have enough fuel.
And their fellow pilots in the Electra are having trouble just getting their load off the plane in this wind.
This is ridiculous.
so windy, we have to tie that thing to the plane. Gotta go grab it.
Buffalo crews are used to harsh conditions, but today, it's amazing that either one of the planes is even here. Because with massive winds blowing across the Northwest Territories, almost no one else is even flying.
We've got WestJet Air Canada and the local boys. They're all canceling flights because just this wind's so nuts.
Yeah, this is a job for Canadian North. Because of the weather, everyone's kind of behind, so we're pitching in, helping out another airline. And this stuff's going to Normal Isles and Nunavut.
Today, General Manager Mikey McBrien's vintage planes are the territory's main lifeline, while the big boys sit and wait.
You know, pilots coming in on big fancy jets, there's a really good chance that they've never flown in the North before.
But the North is Buffalo's backyard.
For Buffalo, we live in the gray area, right? If we grounded airplanes for every minor little thing, nothing would ever get done. You know, we leave it up to the pilots. They're the ones risking their lives, the airplane, and the cargo on their decisions.
Back in the wells, the fuel truck is pumping again. Devin's filled up and has no intention of stopping now.
There's a windy day in the neighborhood.
It's kind of cool that, you know, for that short amount of time, you know, there's only green airplanes in the air. That just goes to show you that we get the job done.
Clear takeoff 28 for Buffalo 577.
Buffalo's vintage warplanes have been doing that job safely in all kinds of weather for over 40 years. It's such a one-of-a-kind operation that last summer, even the Prime Minister had to come see this unique airline and its renegade owner for himself.
The airplane actually had history as dropped paratroopers in Normandy, Canadian paratroopers.
What year was it?
42.
Yeah, come on in. I'll set you on this evening and run this thing. And
you guys ready? Straight up?
Yeah, straight up on the master, and I'll just prime it here.
Yeah, okay, you gonna go with it?
Yeah.
Let him go.
Yeah, he's running.
But the same renegade ways that draw the attention of the most powerful man in Canada can also draw the attention of government inspectors. Today, aviation watchdog Transport Canada is in the hangar.
You know, Transport Canada's coming in the hangar, coming into our offices, coming into our lives to audit our paperwork. So even though you can do a perfect flight, if you don't cross your T's, sometimes you get your hand slapped.
Yeah, I'll talk to him about it this morning. It's just the company right now is under, I guess you could say, under fire because Transport Canada's in right now. They've been here since Monday, so.
You're just going alphabetically?
So, 2-1.
The inspectors have already leaked to Chief Pilot Justin Simley. They've found problems in pilot training records.
Sounds like we're going to get some bad news from Transport, so. But rarely do they ever give you good news, so.
My father was really worried. Okay, this is going to be a battle because he knows better. He's this 41 years now dealing with Transport Canada, and he's got 41 major audits that he had to fight through.
Transport inspectors don't mess around. A few years ago, they shut down Joe's daily passenger flight. Then they suspended his pilot's license. This time, they're targeting six pilots, saying their paperwork is a major problem.
Yeah, well, the training files were okay last year. Now the new guy said they're not good enough, so he's going to invalidate them. So then he told those guys that he's issuing a cease and desist in the morning. And in fact, six pilots, and I'm included.
They actually went back in time 6 months and said everything you did in the last 6 months is invalid.
And if their training is declared invalid, the pilots can't fly.
So what airplane got booked tomorrow?
Everything
may be grounded.
Oh, shit.
Buffalo could be one day away from complete shutdown. And Joe's not going to take that without a fight. It It's a dark morning on the Buffalo Airways ramp. And it could be a very dark day for Buffalo Airways. As Joe's plane touches down, Mikey's ready for a showdown with the government inspectors.
There were some rumblings last night that they might need to acquire more information on some training that is done on the pilots, which they might ground a handful of pilots, which, you know, at Buffalo, a handful of pilots is, you know, pretty substantial. So, big day?
What?
Huh? Big day?
Like what?
I don't know. I haven't been answering the phone or nothing.
Gearing up for battle, Joe gets an update from Chief Pilot Justin Simley.
The inspectors on the Sada team, they seem to like to make their accusations this time around, so.
And why would they target me?
Ultimately, what happened was they found discrepancies in the training files that were up to a definition of a word. And the word was basically training on revenue flights.
Buffalo's always done ongoing pilot training on the way to or from a job when the plane is empty. Now, transport says that's not good enough. Training has to be done on flights specifically dispatched for training purposes. All those empty leg hours are suddenly worthless.
So right now is the big paper trail to see if we can prove them wrong, make sure the training's in place, and so forth.
No, I haven't. Actually, I've been looking at them, and they're so complete.
A veteran of transport battles, Joe's ready for a fight.
I might be going out here in cuffs, so.
Oh.
As the inspector arrives with his findings.
We gave you out the full run of the books. The guy ahead of you last year, the year before, judged it different. He said this is acceptable. You come along and say it's not acceptable. The guy next year may say it's acceptable. So where are our guidelines?
Line training on a non-revenue flight empty is acceptable and has been acceptable to Transport Canada. This clown comes in and wants to be the cop.
And then you say, well, this doesn't count.
And if he grounds their core pilots, Buffalo is crippled.
My training was good. My record stands. My training is good. You see my pilots upside down off the runway? No. My training is good. Why can you challenge it?
I have no idea why somebody would be so unreasonable. I don't know.
No reverse is shut down.
There's six pilots being grounded.
We're a very small company. We have 13 pilots total in the shutdown.
I don't think any of these crews are C-46.
Schroeder C-46, the cost is C-46. You don't even know what a guy's flying.
On the ramp, Devin Brooks hasn't received any formal news. So he's treating today like it's business as usual.
Almost noon.
He's got a load of food to deliver up the Mackenzie Valley. And he wants to get in the air while he still can.
Here, go get Judas.
But right now, what's holding him back is a fuel truck broken down in the bitter cold.
We've been at this for a while.
Devin and the C-46 have hightailed it off the ramp. But back inside...
You want us to go out on the clear weather to circuit around the airport?
Joe's still fighting an immediate shutdown.
That's exactly what we have to do. Go out and do clear weather circuits.
Yes.
Okay, why, after 15 years of doing it the other way, you can change it?
Look, it's never been that
yes,
way.
Yes, it is. We got letters saying we got 30 minutes on each trip.
Well, you got to prove to me that
you
these
don't have to. You prove to me, sir... I pay your f***ing wage, and you're the civil servant here. You prove to me that your accusations are right.
You're here to bitch at. You want my ass.
Look in the eye and tell me.
Sure. You have no agenda.
Yes, you do. You have a term. I knew before you came here. When you had a covert and wouldn't tell me who was coming, I'm challenging your plan. I'm challenging your authority.
You've grounded me. Tell me the reason.
Just have the act show us that your training records are in order.
My training records are accurate, dear inspector. Inspected it prior to my ride. You're on a goddamn witch hunt. Admit it.
I'm not on a witch hunt.
Admit it. How much time you giving me? How much? How much?
12 noon today.
12 noon today.
Respond with a plan.
I'm really thinking that Joe took it personally. Like, I don't think he believed Transport Canada was after Buffalo Airways. He believed that Transport Canada was after Buffalo Joe.
Now Joe and Buffalo are in a tight spot. And before the noon deadline even comes, they decide there's no plan they can make that will satisfy the inspector.
What would have made more sense is if they could have showed me any documentation that says we're doing it wrong. And they didn't show me anything.
So Joe makes his call.
Basically, as of right now, every single Buffalo Airways pilot is grounded. Buffalo Airways grounded, not Transport Canada grounded. Just hope that Hanley and Justin can come with a solution.
We gotta pick up a shortfall, Ike.
All of Buffalo Airways is still reeling from Transport Canada's findings.
But we're trying to also make sure that we're covering all our bases.
Despite Joe's protests, Transport's nullified 6 months of training, grounding Buffalo's core pilots.
Our priority is to get the electric crew out now, because that's the trip. And if we miss one electric trip, you know, that's a lot of money, so we gotta get that out.
Buffalo's Lockheed Electra is booked for an urgent mission to the high Arctic.
Oh, the joy's a winner.
Luckily, pilot Ray Weber is one of the only captains whose records are up to snuff. But his co-pilot Sean Barry isn't so lucky.
We were actually prepping the Electra when at the last minute we actually discovered that Sean needed one more hour of training.
To satisfy the inspector's demands, they'll have to put in that hour right now. And they're already 2 hours behind schedule.
Yeah, I did this training. Do it again.
He has to do steep turns, which are something that in the course of flying in a year, the only time you ever do them is when you do training. I never had to do a steep turn as an evasive action or as a requirement in any flying I've done in the last almost 50 years.
When we're counting Sean's hour or how much it costs, out of pocket is $5,000. In Transport Canada's view, dedicated training has to be takeoff from an airport, do circles for, you know, until you get dizzy, and then land at the same airport.
Buffalo Trainer 1 is ready.
Instead of flying an important job for a paying customer, Sean and Ray are burning $5,000 of fuel flying circles around the airport. Down in Yellowknife, Mikey's on the road looking for a way to blow off some steam after all the tension back at the hangar.
Today I'm taking an early lunch and I'm going to go see a personal trainer. You know, why does anyone want to get in shape? Good ladies. I'm not getting any younger. This time next year I'll be approaching 30. You know, I think it's time to take steps, you know, get back into shape so I can be here for a few more years, run this crazy airline.
A lofty goal, given Mikey's love of fast food, cold beer, and soft couches. Mike Mikey's going to need some serious help.
I've been hearing a lot about this lady, Tara, that's in town, and she's a personal trainer.
Hey, Mikey, how are you?
Oh, good.
Good, My name is Tara. Welcome. Why don't you tell me a little bit first about what you've been doing prior to today?
You take a box from an airplane, and you put it in a van. So I call it, like, cardboard cardio.
Cardboard cardio. That's so fantastic.
Trademark.
Awesome. So, shoes. Where's your shoes?
I only got work boots right now.
Work boots? You show up to a workout with no shoes?
Yeah, no, that's really all I have.
But I kind of need a pedicure too, so I think we're in the same boat.
Tara might be understanding, but her workout will be unforgiving.
And up. Good, let's speed it up. Good, squeeze those glutes to the top. Down and up. Pull it up. Belly button up. Good. Right up onto your tiptoes.
She's incredibly in shape. And you know what, honestly, it's a little bit intimidating that you know a girl can kick your ass, but you know what, I'm up to the challenge.
See how straight I am?
Yeah.
My core's strong. It's stable. We gotta work on yours. Come on. I got ladies in their 50s, 60s doing this. As soon as you're done, weights go down. How many push-ups do you think you can do?
Right now, probably maybe 9.
9? Okay, let's aim for 10.
I would like to think I'm pretty strong.
7, come on, 8, 9, one more. Good, and drop to your knees.
But honestly, my fitness level wasn't the best.
Grab some water.
That's terrible.
How do you feel?
Oh, I don't want to go back to work.
Yes, very good. We're going to get you super fit. Fit to the team.
It sounds like a good plan, if Mikey can survive it.
Geez, I'm in like a exercise haze right now. Oh, that's nuts. You know, it's a good workout when it's a workout to put your shoes on, so see you next time.
Early the next morning, the ground crew preps the Electra for its flight. The Electra crew was supposed to leave yesterday for the high Arctic, but yesterday was a write-off.
The weather was good, then we got into the plane, and then the weather went to shit. And then that screwed up our whole day.
Second Officer Scott Blue and the crew are heading out on a unique, thoroughly northern, thoroughly buffalo mission. Picking up a load of recently slaughtered muskox. Until the weather changed, they planned to leave yesterday, right after Sean's training flight. The last thing they need now is another setback. But this morning, that's exactly what's waiting for them.
That is a lot of drippage.
Fuel is dripping from the Electra's tanks.
It all pooled in there overnight, eh?
Yeah. Delay. We filled it right up yesterday with the anticipation we were flying right away. And what was coming out of the truck into the airplane was super cool to like minus 20. It's up to, you know, minus 5 yesterday, maybe minus 8 right now. So it's actually warmed up. So the fuel's expanded and it's not enough space in the tank. So it's oozing its way out. So it's making a mess.
It's exactly the way the overflow system is supposed to work. But after missing yesterday's departure window, they have one more hurdle. Cleaning up the ramp and the plane. Finally, after a day of delays, the Electra is heading north.
60.
Destination, Sachs Harbor on Banks Island, 1,200 kilometers away. Sachs has the world's largest muskox population. Cousins of the woolly mammoth, muskoxen have evolved to survive in some of Earth's harshest climates. For thousands of years, the Inuit have harvested the animals. Today, it's a vital source of income for the tiny, isolated community of Sax Harbor.
Exactly how much space or 18,000 pounds of dead muskox going to take up in this thing?
He said it's in boxes. Now, how big boxes, I have no idea.
And they have no idea just how much trouble this load is going to cause them. Most of Buffalo Airways' fleet is still grounded. But one of the only crews still cleared to fly rolls a freighter onto the ramp.
Yeah, very painful today.
And Mikey McBrien, still feeling the afterglow of his workout, is trying to help unload it.
Ow! Tara found some muscles that I don't usually use with boxes. Ow! Felt like I fell down a flight of stairs and then did a workout. And then fell down a flight of stairs into an elevator shaft. Ow! Really just trying not to cry right now.
And for now, Mikey's keeping his downsizing on the down low.
Buffalo Airways is a pretty, you know, manly place where men will be men and that kind of stuff. So the last thing you really want to talk about is, you know, fitness and diet. It's something that I'm doing for myself. It's not really for anybody else.
But how long can he keep doing it?
Ow.
Landing gear. Down 3 feet.
The runway is just as long as the town.
1,200 kilometers north, the daylight is already long gone as the Electra crew approaches Sax Harbor on Mission Muskox.
50, 40, 30, 20, 10.
They still have no idea exactly what's waiting for them on the ground. With almost 24-hour darkness and a wind chill hitting minus 50, there's no doubt the crew's crossed the Arctic Circle.
There's no sunrise and sunset, but there's still light in the south.
Yuri Raska is their Sax Harbor point man, working on behalf of the 122 Inuit who live here.
Okay, you don't have weights on any of this shit, okay?
These are probably about, say, between 800 and 1,000 pounds.
There's no accurate weights or scale. That means it's going to be almost impossible to balance the load in the plane.
What we're going to have to do is this whole f***ing load is going to have to be put beside the airplane so we can sort it out. This is going to be a bit of a pitch.
The load is a disorganized mess. But this kind of Arctic transport is what Buffalo does best, even while they're fighting to stay alive.
How many hides on a pallet?
20 and 50.
Yeah, if not even 200 pounds with the pallet.
You take the hides and then they get tanned. Excellent leather.
But if they thaw out, the floor of the Electra could turn into a wet, bloody mess.
Well, we're trying to contain the blood and the snow melt and stuff coming off these. We don't want this stuff melting or running into all the cracks and crannies in the airplane.
It's not a problem most airline captains will ever have to consider.
Stack it on the pallet. You're not going to throw that shit up to the deck here. You have it all over the ramp. Muskox blankets used to be used the same as the buffalo blankets.
Yeah. Throw them over your shoulder and sit there and make them warm. Actually, you get too hot.
One down. 30 to go.
But working in the far north, Ray and his crew have to be ready for almost anything.
This is a first for me, hauling muskox parts. Auto parts, yeah. Food parts? Sure. Muskox parts? The first for everything here, I guess.
Hey, we got them all.
What are we putting on here now?
That's approximately 400 boxes in there. Hand bomb marathon. What are you going to do? Over 5,000 pounds of ground up muskox.
There's 251.
This is a 250-ton muskox cut up into bits and pieces.
That's over twice the number of people who call Saks Harbor home. Even a rough estimate is already putting this haul at the Electra's maximum payload.
It looked more like it was around 29, 30,000 pounds.
Luckily, they've saved the lightest for last.
Give me it. Muskox bull. Give me it.
Guard hair right there.
Give me it. It's closer to the hide. It's the animal one.
What's wrong with you, mustache?
That's pretty good Movember.
The wool is extremely light, incredibly warm, and very hard to come by.
It's very valuable for the community as a natural resource. It certainly is the focal point of the muskox harvest.
The whole load was like $250,000 or $300,000 in wool.
All of this is a vital resource for the Inuit in this tiny, isolated hamlet. Now, depending on buffalo to get the wool to market.
The plane's starting to smell right now. Hopefully it'll get better.
I'm looking for a way to stay operating.
Back in Yellowknife, Joe's still trying to keep all his planes flying.
So I need my pilots are even one or two of each just to keep me flying till I get this done.
We cannot get the answers to the audit. They call them findings. We cannot satisfy their findings.
If I qualify one guy, it doesn't help because I need a co-pilot, you know? I can't do them both at the same time.
The only option left? Go over the inspector's heads and beg.
Yeah, if you give me some relief on, you know, maybe not so much the co-pilots, but the captains, you know?
You know, if I get a couple captains sprung free for 30 days.
He needs an extension so a skeleton crew can stay flying during retraining. And Joe's hoping the higher-ups at Transport's Edmonton office will be more willing to cooperate.
At one time, the regulatory forces that we deal with, like Transport Canada and the regulatory forces, they'd work with you to see how you can get this done.
My father says, hey, listen to this. We actually provide an essential service delivering food to all these communities.
They need to get the list to Transport before their office shuts down tonight, if there's any hope of keeping Joe's planes flying tomorrow.
The way it is right now, I'd have to shut Buffalo Airways down. At the stage I'm at, I can't make it work.
On the Buffalo Airways ramp, the passengers are boarding the nightly flight to Hay River.
Okay, you'll have it in 30 minutes. 20 minutes. I'm on my way to do it.
But inside the hangar, their pilot is fighting for survival.
What he wants me to do is pick five or six captains that have been here a long time.
Transport has agreed to Joe's request for an extension. He just needs to submit the names of his pilots.
As we take five of them, Barry, Bromley, Brooks, Dukas, and Schroeder. He's waiting for the email now, so I'll just make it quick and simple.
Okay.
And they'll try and get me an answer.
But they need to get the list to Transport before their office shuts down tonight, if there's any hope of okaying Joe's deliveries tomorrow.
We have lots of groceries to move, eh?
Yeah. There's six.
There's center. It's gone. I'm supposed to be in an airplane going somewhere.
Well, my father, you know, he was fighting at first, but we're starting to try to cooperate because, you know, fight the law and the law always wins. So we're just trying to make it all work. And we got a break and basically buys us some time. Our heads are still in the noose, but the noose is just a little bit looser.
It might not be the way Joe wanted to do it, but tonight, Buffalo is still flying. Back up in Saks Harbor, the Electra crew is toughing it out in the brutal cold.
Holy shit, I can't turn in the wind here.
It was like 57 below or something up there. It was cold.
Nobody wants to hang around. And with all the cargo finally on board, they're ready to head home.
251 dead muskox. Crazy.
The crew made it all fit. About 30,000 pounds of ancient Arctic animal. But without precise weights, they had to guess at balancing the load. So they're not quite done after all.
Well, we're just a little tail heavy, so we got to readjust the weight a bit.
It's the kind of specialized service that only Buffalo can provide.
This has been a fantastic day, actually. We're very happy. We had a lot of help from the crew getting everything off the plane in an incredible amount of time. And I'm very surprised that everything fit into this plane. We just about maxed her out, so I'm very, very pleased we got it out in one shot. So thank you, Buffalo.
Buffalo's pulled off another offbeat northern mission. But it's far from business as usual back home.
Just long as we juggle her, captains.
The next morning, Justin is trying to sort out a complex non-stop retraining schedule for his pilots.
So these are the guys that are on extension. These are the guys who have qualified up here, and this is the plan.
In order to cover our ass, we just made the decision to go ahead and retrain everybody.
I go up the valley with AJ, Dan, and actually Graham, and I line check them all. That gives me a DC-4 crew.
Well, we gotta keep things going. We employ a lot of people. We gotta keep everybody working.
Holy f***, it's slippery up here, man. It's like a sheet of ice up here, man.
Everybody's busting their ass right now, and I don't want to run into a problem later due to lack of foresight.
So Justin's heading out for the first of dozens of training runs that Buffalo will have to fly over the next month.
You gotta remember, 24 hours before, we were normal. Fast forward one single day, we're down 78 training hours.
Yeah, you're just gonna do the run. I'm just gonna walk.
And all of it will be training that they argue they've already done.
Buzzer, right?
Yep. The last guy we put in the seat of the DC-3 had 65 hours on the DC-3 on empty non-revenue flights. And transport requires 4 hours. Like, I mean, we're training so high above the standard, it's not even funny.
It's $250,000 that they may be responsible for because they want me to retrain my pilots. I can't challenge it because I got 30 days. If I don't do it in 30 days, I'm up for suspension. So the big stick, the gun's to my head.
For now, they'll have to dance to transport's tune. And it's a song no one around here likes.
You know, the regulator has taken a safe operation and made it inherently dangerous. Guys making all the training guys and all the captains around here work like dogs, eh?
What the f***? Yes, coming out of it?
Yeah. Ran f***ing perfect the other day.
Try and play catch up. You get behind, you get frustrated, you get cold. Your decision making's not that great. It's taking us out of safety. It's supposed to take us into safety.
And transport still has one final parting shot, aimed right at Joe.
Yeah, Joe here. Well, they dropped some letter bombs on me.
When they pull up my license and they say this is invalidated, well, I have a bit of a problem with that because if I go through a check stop tonight and I throw my driver's license out to the Mountie, he's not going to ask me to validate it.
On a completely separate issue from the training, the inspectors now say Joe's license hasn't been properly validated by their own people.
And this guy says, I'm going to challenge his signature on your license. Well, why would he do that? I mean, that's, you know, why would he challenge his own inspector's judgment of signing my license? You know, I mean, are we at a witch hunt or what? You know, it's hard to put that behind you and say that. You know, if we're of average intelligence around here and we work hard at being average intelligence, how do you answer something like that? They probably don't even have a license themselves. Maybe they're jealous. I don't know.
But this time, the inspectors have zeroed in on Joe. Now, it's getting personal. It's been a painful few days at Buffalo. But Mikey's suffering his own personal pain.
F***ing calf muscles. I can't move them.
The fallout from his first workout.
Ow.
I could barely move. I felt like the Tin Man on Wizard of Oz.
And he's come to a conclusion.
Well, something must be chemically wrong in my brain because I like a challenge. I like a real challenge.
He needs an almost impossible goal to motivate him.
Oh, hey, my
and he just might have found it.
I heard about this Frostbite 45 as some being pretty extreme. And it's definitely extreme.
It's a rugged northern take on a marathon over rough terrain on skis or snowshoes.
It's definitely gonna be a challenge. 45 kilometers has been nuts. Well, I think, doing a race, something that's completely out of character for me, really proves your own character.
Jeez Louise.
But the race is only 3 months away. Not much time to build that much character.
Only two guys finished it.
Ready? Go.
So Tara's taking Mikey's training outside.
So use your heels.
Push, push, push. Don't stop. Keep going.
We're gonna tackle these stairs. Do the best that you can. Pop there. That's okay, so I'm skipping too.
Holy smokes.
The demands on the body outside are a lot harder than inside. And to make that first transition can be very intimidating.
Nice and fast, okay? Go up, 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 up. Good. Quick, fast feet. Light and fast, light and fast, as fast. Good. All the way up, all the way up. Breathe at the top. Good.
Oh. Mikey might love a challenge, but this time, has he aimed too high?
You know, we're not being dishonest.
Back at the hangar, Buffalo Joe's hoping he's got a response to Transport's final salvo.
Other than that, I got to go circling Yellowknife for 3 hours in the DC-3 this afternoon, which I don't plan on doing.
The inspectors want to pull his own license to fly, but a call to his lawyer leads Joe to a crafty plan.
I'm just verifying I did my training. I'm verifying that I did my current exam. And I do deserve the license in my pocket. That's all I'm verifying. I had a deadline to fly an airplane at 4:30.
Where's my lawyer? Lawyer. Hey, man, you a lawyer?
I called a lawyer and I signed an affidavit that I'd taken my training and I'd taken my ride. Even though I did it all with Transport Canada Inspector a month ago.
Joe might have lost the big war with Transport, but this battle is personal. So he's fighting the bureaucrats at their own game, using paperwork to legally swear that he's completed all required training.
Joe signed an affidavit stating that his training was complete. It's ridiculous.
The higher-ups at Transport have received Joe's facts and accepted his word.
Well, that's another round with Transport Canada, eh, Joe?
Huh. Oh, yeah, there'll be many more, and there has been many.
But for now, he's back in his cockpit with a valid license and a small victory in his pocket.